Amen. Thank you, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. We are gathered both here, and I believe we're online virtually. Ms. Paya, we're all doing well. Regrettably, we had a service where we couldn't get online, we've now figured out a way to record the service in case that happens again. We can at least have it available later. So those of you who are joining us virtually, we're working hard to provide your gathering with us. Last week, how many of you came to church last week? Yeah, I'm afraid several of us did, and I apologize that we didn't get the word out to everyone that we weathered out last week and decided to hold off. Sometimes prudence is the right response, but it is what it is. And as we come into this new year, we are all a little bit older, I've noticed. I'm not sure how that happens. Are any of you making New Year's resolutions, by the way? I decided to try and eat healthier, but by golly, every time I walk by a chocolate bar, it's Snickers. That's just that case. Isn't that the way that works? On the back of the bulletin, some of the things going on. This bulletin, if you are looking at it, check the date on your bulletin. You might notice that you get a whole extra week. This is last week's bulletin. We decided rather than the production of bulletins takes a lot of time and effort. So Paya and I just wisely said, we'll use this one since it's still a good bulletin. Is that all right with everyone? We're on. All right. Today is Human Relations Sunday. We were going to give you plenty of time and preparation last week so that you could write extra checks and make special consideration as we are about human relations, and we'll focus a little bit about that in the sermon this morning. But now you have your warning, all of about 30 seconds worth, so that you can prepare for that today. Are there other announcements as we come and as we gather for the good of the order? Michael, if you would help us attach to Ms. Debbie Gunther, our Chair of Missions.
Good morning. Last Tuesday was our first crop fundraiser for the year, and thank you to everyone that went. We made $90, so that's great going into the new year. Thank you.
Thank you for eating. It's a hard duty. It's like walking by a chocolate bar and letting it snicker. Anyway, we go on with that. Other announcements by way of the good of the order. We are in the new year. End of year reports have been done, and I want to thank all the staff and volunteer staff and all of the people that contribute. We are in an unusual year in the church. As you might be aware, there has been a movement of disaffiliation. A few churches have left the United Methodist Church to start the Global Methodist Church, I believe it's called, or World Methodist Church, I'm not sure now. So out of that disaffiliation, statistics on who we are and where we are more important. So we have dedicated some time and effort to make sure that we report that as we continue in our connectional means of being. How many of you could drop everything you're doing and run off to Israel or to Syria or to Ukraine? But we cannot do that. And yet out of, as Debbie Gunther, our mission chair, reminded us of our missional opportunities, we can do that through our connectional church. And that's a blessing. The United Methodist Church is worldwide, and we do make that work. God is good all the time. Any other things for the good of the order? I don't see anything else. If you stand, wave hello to one another. We will turn to our call to worship and be in worship.
Would you remain standing for the call to worship? Brothers and sisters, come away from distractions. Come and let us commune with our Lord. All the world calls us, our family calls us. The Lord God calls us. The distractions all around us are overwhelming. We don't have time to even take a breath. These concerns seem to be paramount, and they are in every generation. What can we do? We are powerless without the Lord our God.
Somebody else is going to tell me.
And now if we'll join together in the hymn 229, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
This morning's scripture is from 1 Corinthians 6:12 to 20, found in your pew Bible on page 169. Glorifying God in body and spirit. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. The Spirit with him, but everyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By way of prayer concerns, we have received word that Phyllis Thomas passed last spring, spring of 2023. I did not know Phyllis. Some of you, how many of you knew Phyllis Thomas? Okay, so you knew. Grace to her and her family. I also received word this week that Chim Cantor has passed. She passed on January 13th. At this point, they are awaiting services, but they believe that they'll end up doing the services at Arvada United Methodist, where her children go. We will try and get you information about that if you're able to attend and to honor her. But I'll get you more contact information as we get it. Her daughter, Marcia, contacted me. So, blessing to Chim and her family. Some losses, life and death and life again. Part of that journey, part of that cycle that we are a part of. Grief and joy on the bittersweet. Are there other concerns that you have before us as we are gathering with the body? We have those on the back page. We want to continue to remember those, but want to make sure that we list any that are new that you are aware of. Concerns. I don't see any listed here. Please, Ruella.
Well, I have a couple of joys this morning. The weather was wonderful for us to go over for my cousin's memorial service, and it was a great time. Few tears, mostly laughter, and just sharing memories. So it was a wonderful time, and we're glad to be back safe home. The other joy I have is that for any of you who read the Upper Room, my sister wrote the devotion for January 13th, so I'm very proud of her for being accepted and doing that. On top of that, she's also written 5 books, so I'm just very proud of her writing skills and that she can do that. She's done it all since her kids were raised and gone. So,
how about that? Tell me her first name.
Karen.
Karen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Contributor to Upper Room is a significant achievement.
Yeah, I didn't know it was as hard to get in as it is till she told me how hard it was for her to actually get accepted to be in the Upper Room.
Good. So. Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. Other concerns, or we are at celebrations as well. Last week we didn't get to read everybody, so let's catch us up. Jackie Clark on the 14th had an anniversary. Carson Burns had a birthday on Monday. Is that right? I'm losing everybody these days. Okay. Thank you. Ruby Freeman had a birthday on Wednesday. Sue Anderchin on the 19th, which is Friday. Christopher had a birthday on the 20th. And Charlotte Burns had a birthday on the 7th. Is that right? 7 years old. It doesn't seem possible. I do not have any birthdays or anniversaries listed for the week of the 21st through the 27th. Do you? I'm sorry, I thought I heard somebody back here muttering at me. Michael, Miss Holly Armstrong. Stand up, Holly.
First of all, put a note in there that Sue Anderchin passed away, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're
And my mother passed away quite a while ago, but she would have been 91 on the 24th this week. So
bittersweet,
just remember,
memory.
Just
yeah.
In memory. Yeah. Same for Sue, just in memory of Sue.
Okay, thank you. Michael Richard Schneer, clear on the other side of the sanctuary. Thank you for dividing it up so that we get Michael his aerobic activity this morning. I understand his cats try and keep him active too, but it's a job.
Yeah, I'm feeling just a shade older this morning. In 2 days, our oldest grandchild will have her 20th birthday, Devon.
Tell me her name again.
Devon.
Devon.
D-E-V-O-N, Devon.
20. Yeah, you're getting old, Richard. You and me too, brother. Others? Paya in the back.
This is on behalf of Stephanie. Her nephew, Gavin, had his 19th birthday on Monday, celebrated by himself in D.C.
Gavin, in D.C., celebrating by himself, 19 years old. 19 years young. Amen. Thank you for that.
And one more, please. Not a birthday, but a celebration. Our nephew, Wandami Davis Jr., we call him CE, signed and committed to, or committed and signed, to the University of Texas, El Paso. Football scholarship.
All right, all right. We'll see him on the big screen. Amen. Thank you for that. Some celebrations. We did get some moisture. We are glad for that. Lift concerns for avalanches and avalanche danger. But what a beautiful creation we are in the midst of. That gets an amen, doesn't it? Amen. I do not have any other birthdays or anniversaries for the 21st through the 27th. The 28th, the 31st of January, Jane Barber has a birthday, but that's a ways down the way. We'll announce that again. Any others? Things that we ought to hold in prayer, celebrate, be a part of. All right, let's turn to our unison prayers. You find it printed in your worship bulletin, drawn from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched us and know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You discern our thoughts from far away. Even before a word is on our tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem us in behind and before. Wonderful are your works that we know very well. How weighty to us are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of your thoughts. We try to count them. They are more than the sand. O Lord, hear our prayers from the beginning to the end. We are still with you. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation. Lord God, how can we be more thankful? You are indeed before us and behind us. You hem us in and keep us safe in all times and all places. It is not to say that we will not struggle, that we will not have tribulations, and that the laws of life and death and life again will not, that they will pass us by, but it is to know that you are ever with us. You are always a part of us. You are always accessible to us, and your love is upon us. Lord, we come before you this morning, worshiping together in the new year, celebrating the newness of another calendar year, and yet the ancestry of all of your contact with humankind, all of the times that you have been with us, all of history that you have shared with us, all the ways you have blessed us. As we're here and as we are here and as we gather, thank you. Thank you for your gift of Christ and for the Holy Spirit upon us, within us, guiding us, inspiring us. Thank you for giving us ability to do good works in the world. Lord, there are times when we feel overcome, that the world around us is too much, that all around us is evil and corruption and darkness, and we can pause and turn to you and know that all things are under your control, that out of all that there is still light. In all of the darkness, the light of Christ shines. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for this morning and the sunshine, for the snow, for the winter, for our homes, for the food on our tables and the clothes on our backs. And we give you thanks for so very much all of the ways you have blessed us. Lord, as we come and gather, we hope that you mindfully unsettle us from complacency, that we might be aware of those in need, and ways that we might be about being those who reach out in your name, in your love. Lord, be with us. Be with us as we gather here locally and with all those around the world, and as we gather with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We thank you for the ways that you continue to support the church, and we thank you for, in advance, for giving to Human Relations Sunday, this Sunday's special offering, going out to do the will and the work where we might not be able to take our hands and feet, and yet where you are able to do great works through our gifts. Let's pause a moment, allow Barbara a moment with an offertory.
Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? It's found in your pew Bible on page 34, Mark 1, 9 to 12. The baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The temptation of Jesus. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels awaited on him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
All right, all you big kids and little kids, come on down for our action song. Old kids and young kids, is that where you're differentiating, Holly? Yeah, that's. You got some good help this morning. All right.
Thanks for watching.
Let's
Thank you. Good exercise there. Yeah, I invite all of you to be seated. Where was that video shot? I would like to say the Grand Canyon, but Larry, you're shaking your head. Did you recognize that? Is it down Loma area? Yeah. There is a lot. Yeah, most of the scenes are from Colorado, and I couldn't place that, but you're right. That'd be down. Actually, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, they had their hideout down there along that river outside of Loma and what have you. That's what I'm told. Anyway, beautiful. I've forgotten how to do all this morning, so you're going to have to just work with me. The sermon title changed because the sermon changed because, well, it did. But you recall that last week Jesus faced his temptations in the wilderness, and this is the recounting of that and remembering that. Richard and I looked up the word that he immediately was cast out into the wilderness. Jesus was immediately euthyos. Richard, did I get it right? we tried euthyos. Now you know another Hebrew word. How many of you are going to remember that? Not me either. I have it written down. But immediately he is cast out into the wilderness. Here is God. This is my beloved Son on whom I am well pleased. That would seem to be enough, wouldn't it? But Jesus immediately is cast out and faces his temptations. The bulletin cover reflects that. Did you look at the cover of your bulletins there? I have it cited there. A choice, Lauren Wright Pittman. I can't find much other information, but there are the choices, the one, the riches, the crown, the gold, and the other is a crown of thorns, but it is faithfulness. And that might be worth noting to remind us that faithfulness does not always mean ease and comfort and prosperity. So which would we choose? How are we about that? And Christ choosing the crown of thorns, and Jesus facing his temptations. I don't know, we didn't read how they were all lifted, but there he is tempted with food. Make these rocks, turn them into bread. Ha, no. God will feed me. Power, control, fame, immortality. Immortality, a temptation. And then Paul's scripture for this morning, Sandy did a good job reading that. The temptations that something may be legal doesn't mean it's right. There are things we are about. Now, Paul was speaking specifically about how some of the Jews and the Gentiles are in conflict here a little bit as about the Gentile mission is going on. And some of the Gentiles, as they are at meal with the Jews, are eating non-kosher foods because they say, well, it's legal for us to do it. But if we are offending others, we have to name that. And we have to say, is this considerate of my brother or sister? How shall we be? How would Christ guide us to be in the midst of this? About this time of year, I always try and lift up that we need to take stock of ourselves and find out what our temptations are. I had an interesting conversation with my dad years ago. He grew up during the Depression. He grew up when they had nothing, and he kept everything. We were cleaning out the garage one day, I recall, and we had bought this house, and there was stuff left there, and we're going through, and he finds this something, and he takes it off the shelf there, and hands it to me. He says, what is that? And I said, I have no idea. He looked at it, and he says, well, it's a good one, though, and he put it right back on the shelf. Might need that good something. We don't know for sure what it was. And for him, temptation, his strongest temptation was probably money, he said. trying to have enough to make sure you could survive, to feed your family, to take care of everyone. So we understand that. What are our temptations? What are they? How can we be about watching that they do not become impediments in our relationship with our Lord? One of the temptations that is not often lifted is vengeance or revenge. We have a struggle with that in our society. If we are injured, we certainly will demand justice. But all too often what is being said is revenge or vengeance, and we need to be aware of that. There's an old saying that when you come out seeking revenge, you need to dig two graves, one for that other and one for yourself. And indeed, we are dying inside ourselves when we are caught up in that. There's another temptation that I'm beginning to face as I don't know if all of you knew I was retired. I've been playing that joke for 2 or 3 years now, haven't I? We'll work that as long as it'll work. But one of the temptations for me might be complacency. I think I have finances in order. I think things are going along nicely, but sometimes complacency is a huge temptation. You should see my house. I need to do housework, is what I'm saying. And it's easy enough to not do that and just be complacent. So temptations. So here are temptations, and they sit before us. And now we come to a jump that I hope I'll tie in, and that is that we need to acknowledge that this is Human Relations Sunday. And one of the things we do on this Sunday is acknowledge the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We acknowledge that. I hope that you have experienced some of the things about him over the week. They usually do some different documentaries, different things, talk about different contributions. It's important to note several things about him. He had his doctorate in Scripture, studied in Scripture. He was deeply embedded in Scripture. It intrigued me to realize that he was only 26 when all of his activities began. When I was 26, I didn't still have a brain. I had kiddos and I still had no brain. Of course, they may have been part of the reason I had no brain, but that's another story. He is the Reverend, senior pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. And he was working toward justice. That was his focus. I want to read you a little piece he wrote here. He said, "Before I was a civil rights leader, I was a preacher of the gospel. This was my first calling, and it still remains my greatest commitment. You know, actually, all that I do in civil rights, I do because I consider it a part of my ministry. I have no other ambition in life but to achieve excellence in the Christian ministry." A lot of people attribute a lot of things to King. He wasn't perfect. He was not evil. He wasn't any other things that are completely encompassing of who he was. He was as complex as all of us are. But he was a student of the Bible. And he, like us, tried to be faithful. And one of the things that had to be faithful that he knew was justice. The Bible clearly states, if we are not about justice, we are not one with God. Old Testament, New Testament, there is no distinction that justice is the godly way. Dr. King knew the Bible, as I said, and he would have known that Old Testament dictate, the laws say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a stripe for a stripe. And he understood that, and he knew that, and he understood it for what it was, a limitation on what you could demand for someone. There was a time when it was so barbarian that the very basics of how to be in the world were called into question, and to limit the retribution you could demand was a huge step. And he knew that Christ stepped further as we grew as a humanity and said, I tell you, not an eye for an eye, but turn the other cheek. And he lived that and taught us that. So all of King's work about justice, all of his different ways of being in the world were nonviolent. It was a difficult stretch to be, and he didn't really pioneer the way that worked. A little Indian fellow by the name of Mohandas Gandhi had begun that work, satyagraha, nonviolent justice, finding ways to change, not through force, but through the heart. So, Human Relations Sunday, we acknowledge Dr. King, but we acknowledge an awful lot of other people. If you ask kiddos today, they will all know who Rosa Parks is. Our history, our school system has helped lift up some of those who have done incredible things. Rosa Parks was one of those. Marian Anderson, how many of you have heard of Marian Anderson? She was an opera singer, denied the accessibility to sing, and who yet then sang to the nation, and who changed hearts lovingly, caringly, with a voice from God. Justice, Dr. King, Rosa Parks, Marian Anderson, Nelson Mandela. In Africa, there was an inequality, a huge injustice, a small minority of whites ruling a country of blacks, and doing so, claiming biblical right to do so. There were protests, there were battles, there was bloodshed trying to resist this injustice. No progress was made. But then something else happened, and I don't know that we've ever really paused to acknowledge, but groups around the world, like the United Methodist Church, us, decided that we would remove any financial support of any companies that did business with that corrupt government. We took an ethical stance. Force didn't matter, protests didn't matter, revolts didn't matter. But when we came down and said, we as the world decry this inequality, and we will financially remove your ability to remain in control, change happened. Apartheid ended. Nelson Mandela still a part of that, but a lot of people embedded and central in how we were working to find justice, not through force, not through violence, but person to person, heart to heart, systematically. So we turn to this day of human relations, of thinking about where we are, and in the world around us, there are so many things going on. We think of the wars that are going on, the conflicts that are going on. We think about all of those different places and wonder, how can we be the Christians we're called to be in the midst of those conflicts, in the midst of those trials and tribulations? May the Lord grant us understanding and direction. Through it all, let's remember that revenge is a temptation that draws us away from Christ. Vengeance is a temptation that draws us away from Christ. How shall we be a people in a world where conflict seems to be the norm? How shall we be a people bringing about change? Think a moment about Jesus' ministry of a year, 3 years. People at the time may have said, he was crucified, he failed. His change is still ongoing. His change has changed the world and will continue to change the world. Amen? Amen. If I can implore Miss Barber to come up, I'm going to ask that we stand, and Richard, if you'd come forward to lead us once in Royal David City. Stand if you'll, let's sing together.
Before we sing it, I wanted to point out that if you look in the bulletin, it says it's hymn number 229. You'll find we sang that as our opening hymn. It's actually on 250.
So, okay, yeah. We. Yeah, that's the only time I ever made a mistake. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Barbara. As we gather, we are about this Human Relations Sunday, and perhaps human relations are the core of how we are Christ's children, sent out by God and the Son and the Holy Spirit to go and do the will and the work of Christ from our hearts to all the world. Amen? Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen.